opposition will approve the agenda, and then minutes from last month, I think Dave said that they'll go back and review the recording to ensure that there's accurate attendance records, and I think beyond that, unless either you have any other amendments to the minutes, we can go ahead and approve them for posterity's sake. Great. All right, it's an HCAP report.
So, from a trending perspective, actually, this was kind of a light month for intakes for HCAP. I will say, I'll highlight just one thing that's been kind of an ongoing issue, and I'll just highlight what I think one of the barriers is, just for the community engagement purposes. I have an ongoing issue you'll see for a residential substance use facility. A big barrier to being able to resolve that issue is alternative space for the people who are having conflicts. You're throwing a group of people into a very small area at times, and it's not like there's a whole lot of beds to be had by one provider. So not having any other alternative for them to go, they kind of get stuck in this space where they can't really go anywhere. So just kind of reiterating what we already know is the issue, is just a lack of space for people to move to in instances where their home is not stable for them, whether it's for residential or for other reasons. I guess that'll be the main thing that I highlight. Are there any other questions on my report?
I have one question. I think it's a little inside baseball just because I'm a provider at a psychosocial support agency. But some of these are referrals. Like they're referencing referrals, not like an issue with the service being provided, correct? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. In fact, most of the ones for psychosocial support are referrals. I had that conversation earlier in my meetings with you and also with DPH, that, and we kind of reiterated that. And I'm happy to hash out more when Ben's here. We can kind of talk more about it. But I think what we're leaning toward is removing referrals from the written text of the report and putting them into some sort of pie chart so that we can kind of see a percentage of where the referrals are going. And that would maybe help accommodate the need for seeing trends in the community and also eliminate some of the excess text in there. The job is not linear. A lot of the clients, they come in with an issue that's very rarely the issue that they need assistance with, and so what winds up being their initial intake doesn't ultimately always coincide with how I wind up spending my time with those clients.
Yeah.
So I think it does us all a better service if I put that information elsewhere.
For sure. Yeah. It sounds like you're also providing a fair amount of psychosocial support yourself.
Typically.
And it wasn't giving you your job description.
But I'm happy to do it.
I see, that's what the job was.
Built in.
Psychosocial support?
Going with somebody to their hair appointment.
You're not a psychosocial service provider unless you've gone to a hair appointment. I mean, I definitely did in my time.
It's traumatic.
It's part of our interview process. All right. Anything else you want to note, Steven?
Nothing stands out at this time unless there's any questions.
Any questions for Steven?
Can I just add do we give these back when we're done with them? Like, is there any potential breach of confidentiality with any of the detailing? Because they're, I don't see anything, but
yeah.
I'm
curious. That was discussed last week, and actually, I don't know, I'm going to disagree with that, but I think there is, especially if you're somebody that works at a service provider that knows one of the clients or one of the issues that's on the report, you can kind of see exactly who, you can see who, where else they are providing. You know, for example, I have had clients who, where they have multiple cases. I have to open different cases for each service provider with the reporting that's currently required. So if you see that the client has been at one service provider, you can see that they've been to a number of other ones, which is essentially the same information that Aries houses. So I think there is, not that it's likely, but I think that the way it's reported now, I think there is there's a potential for a breach of confidentiality. I think that removing the referrals is one way to circumvent that and to prevent that from happening. And I think I'm hoping that our conversation, with Ben and what I just spoke with Beth and Kevin about will eliminate it entirely.
All right. So these are case situations that come in from all different organizations in the city, and one umbrella organization you handles them, the advocacy. You guys have you're an organization.
Is it okay with the room if I explain what the
HCAP is? Absolutely.
So HCAP is stands for the HIV Consumer Advocacy Project.
Yeah.
What I do is I work with service providers and consumers, so people that are using the services.
You're a middleman, but
I resolve disputes informally, and I also provide referrals when necessary. I basically remove barriers to services. So if somebody were to come in and say that they needed access to food, but their primary care physician was was not responsive or not filling out the proper form, I could mediate that issue, remove that barrier. And I've done that on a number of occasions.
So you help independent clients and case managers that might call you in or?
I also have the ability to provide technical assistance to service providers in limited instances. Most of that is done through referrals. I have not had, I'm relatively new to the job, it's only been 7 months, but I have not yet been engaged by a service provider to do anything like draft a confidentiality agreement or draft a grievance process or anything like that. But I do have the ability to do that.
This position was created by the Planning Council and is funded by the money that we receive from a grant. And currently the contract is held by the AIDS Legal Referral Panel. And it's a way to resolve conflict for our clients that's a little more direct. And the clients are supposed to directly go through the grievance procedures at individual agencies before they come and see him. Sometimes that's really required.
I haven't run into a situation where that's been a barrier. Many of the clients that I have are experiencing comorbidities, and their disabilities prevent them from going through the grievance process in a linear fashion, and that's one of my obligations to help them through that process, and it can typically streamline the process and expedite a resolution if I'm involved. But to answer your question, I work for AARP, the contract is held by AARP, and it's funded by the Planning Council.
Thank you.
And part of what it does from a bigger perspective is I think we get fewer people coming to the Planning Council who have had a frustrating and no actionable movement on whatever their frustration is. So in some ways, the Planning Council is a little bit less dynamic because of that opportunity for them to get their issues resolved prior to needing to come to a full planning body and say, this is not fucking working for me. Why don't you all change it, kind of thing. So it's kind of an energy that's hidden from the standpoint when it works well. We don't realize it's happening. Is that fair to say?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
no.
You may realize it's happening. You may get the complaint. But.
I like your choice of words. It's less dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it is. It is really in essence, because it is funded through the same administrative funding stream that pays for us, essentially, same sort of quarter of funding, and it is not funding that is being pulled away from other HIV services. So it really is a function of the council, even though even though Stephen is contracting house at a different agency than we are, he still is sort of in the same way that we sort of serve the council's interest and goals, so does he.
And we have what's called the COLA groups, the community listening groups, community outreach and listening groups that go to different providers and collect information like we're going to be talking about, and Stephen goes with them and talks directly to clients about the services that he provides.
No, it was a good question, and then also since Stephen's name, like trying to figure out a better, like to improve it as well, so it works for us, right? And so that's part of what we're going through. That being said, can I recommend that we give these back or to somebody? As
we
know that
we used to do that one issue,
I think.
I mean,
it
might have been before my time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if people have concern about confidentiality,
I just don't
no
know
personally
like
identifying information. I think it's HIPAA compliant. But I do think that if they were to get their hands, if the service provider were to get their hands on it, they could probably deduce who it was. So
just to be safe until we figure it out. Thank you.
And that was a dynamic conversation.
Yeah, do you want to take them, or we can just take them and shred them when we get back to our office?
I can take them if you want. Whatever you prefer.
I don't know who is doing the getting the zero update now that we're Sam's mic. So we may want to just strike this from the standing agenda. Is there any? Can you?
Is this the meeting coming up?
Yeah. I can't think of anything specific that is just other than the fact that they're engaged in the 2020 process as well. So,
I think it's probably worth keeping on the agenda. Generally, when there is movement with getting to zero, at least somebody has some sort of knowledge about what that movement is.
Oh, and I feel like David is oftentimes that person. Okay, fair enough.
David Gonzalez.
He in the previously was more closely. But I don't know where he is now, but he does keep abreast of what's happening with getting to zero, as you know, a lot of you guys do. So I think that it's worth sort of being like leaving it as an open spot, and when we do maybe have another sort of expert in the room, we can just make it their responsibility.
Does anyone want to explain what getting to zero is?
Huh?
Does anyone want to explain what getting to zero is?
Richard, do you know what getting to zero is?
Well, is it like the hepatitis C battle? Like they're trying to like get the numbers down?
It's sort of. It is. Getting to zero was a advocacy effort made by a group of service providers, mostly the director level, ED level of a lot of service agencies, and DPH in combination a few years ago. And essentially what they did was lobby for additional funding from the city that was outside of standard Ryan White funding to address some very specific needs that people were seeing. And the idea around getting a zero is it's zero new infections, zero deaths, zero stigma, and was there one other zero?
I think that's it, yeah.
And so they were actually very effective probably about 4 or 5 years ago at really like getting a lot of press, which was a part of it, and also getting some additional funding, and we're able to get pilot some new programs and add services to existing programs. And so it is an ongoing thing that works parallel to what the council is doing, and it has sort of moved a little bit away from having as much DPH involvement as it did once, it feels like, but it is still primarily driven by service providers. And many people on the council have been members of Getting a Zero, including myself at one point.
It doesn't mean that the production can go down to zero, but if you get infections down to a level that's real manageable.
What is it now, a year, like 200 per year in San Francisco?
Under 200 for the first time.
219, yeah, so that's getting down there. I know it'll never be absolute zero, but I just get the message.
I mean, their particular focus is PrEP, rapid integration of HIV medications, testing and
intensive
stigma.
Case management.
Yeah.
It was really fueled by the initial rollout of PrEP was sort of the idea, sort of was spurred, the cause
of
the catalyst was PrEP.
We're hitting the real vulnerable populations that are harder, that need more case management and more intensive care.
When they have their next, their larger meeting, at 6:10, it's usually worth going. Like that room is usually packed full of people and the topics are usually pretty good. So.
And if you have any other further questions, we're always here. Anyone in this room probably is happy to talk to you about it offline.
And those meetings are quarterly, right?
So the one coming up will be their big
World AIDS Day.
Yeah, like it's World AIDS Day, I believe, and that will be their real big. Usually, it's their one big one for the year.
So is that on the second, maybe then, or
what day is the first?
Sunday.
Yeah.
Have you been Monday then?
Well, yeah, we'll figure it out. You'll hear something.
Yeah, I'm sure the the full council meeting.
Yeah.
All right. Needs assessment and COLA update.
Oh, it's the 5th
at 6 o'clock. Not a lot to update. I hear that Melina gave you a presentation on